and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yeah, it is. Hey, look at me. I'm hosting a radio show and cooking bison burgers. Oh, the home studio it is. It's just a cooking show meets Animal Planet, meets politics, meets whatever.
Whatever.
Very exciting.
Sometimes okay. Meets Playboy Channel.
Right. That's when Jim gets here.
Yeah.
Jim? Oh, all right. All's as it should be. Jim's not here yet. All right. No phone call, though, regarding. So
no.
I'm not sure how the IBS is this morning, but let's all pray. All right.
Okay.
All right. Oh, by the way, you know how we go to bed at...
Stupid o'clock.
Not together.
No. Oh, God. Oh, God. You just made me shudder throughout my entire body.
Sorry. Me too.
Oh.
And we get up at...
An insane o'clock.
Okay, now I don't feel like as big a loser.
Why?
Because my nephew took me out for sushi last night to thank me for the, you know, extended house stay here.
Yeah.
And guess who was there?
Who?
It was like 5:30. He's like, are you sure it's open? I'm like, yes, it opens at 5:30. Jackson Brown. Rock stars eat at 5:32.
Well, when they get to a certain age, yes.
Do not bring up that Daryl Hannah also likes sushi and splash. Don't bring that up because...
Are they together?
No. That was some unpleasantness, I think.
Oh dear.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Let's... hey, look who's here right out of the box, everybody.
Carl.
Carl Frisch.
Exciting.
BullfightStrategies.com.
So.
Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm swell. How are you?
Did you have sushi with any rock stars last night?
I didn't want to brag.
Uh-huh.
But I had some tilapia with Peter, Paul, and Mary's second cousin, James.
Okay. Okay. Consider me outdone, sir.
So.
Nicely played. So, a lot of the stuff going on, obviously. You tweeted about McConnell's ad features Duke basketball instead of Kentucky. Mockery ensues. Oh.
Yep.
Oh, Yertle.
That was unfortunate.
Like, he just can't get a break. I mean, first of all, they post 2.5 minutes of awkward video of him, B-roll, just sitting there to some music so that the Super PACs can download it and make commercials with
right.
it. And then everybody does it and just makes fun of him.
McConnelling, right. Yeah,
right.
That is
and,
the... Yeah, I like the twin shot of he and his wife turning to camera with the creepy smile.
Right. I mean, I almost want to say it was as awkward as the end of those Herman King commercials where he slowly turned to the camera with a big
yeah.
goofy smile. Yeah, I mean, running a commercial where Duke is praised over Kentucky
yeah.
Is probably not the thing you want to do in a state like Kentucky. I mean,
right.
they have probably one of the largest television audiences for college basketball in the country.
That's right.
Right, right. Particularly not when Duke has just screwed up everyone's brackets and pissed off the entire
right.
country. Except for Warren Buffett.
Yeah,
certainly not.
yeah.
And when you're from the party that has this false machismo, you really want to get all sports metaphors, sports references, and automobile references down without making a mistake.
Right, right. By the way, I think it might be a stealth liberal director for these Republican commercials because I think it's someone going, no, that looks really good. It doesn't look creepy at all. Just do a slow turn to camera with a slow smile. It looks great.
It's very possible.
So let's talk about, obviously, big doings at the Supreme Court
right.
about regarding Hobby Lobby. You cited an article, Supreme Court's Hobby Lobby case fuels bigotry. Yeah, this is really disturbing to me. What appears, I mean, Chris thinks they're going to rule in favor of Hobby Lobby. Who can tell that indecisive
I
Anthony
sure
Kennedy?
I sure hope not.
I sure hope not
why.
Either.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a few paths that Kennedy could take to come to the right decision or Roberts could take to come to the right decision. And now is the time to make the case right now for people out there that have any kind of influence or audience because it's Friday morning.
Well, I hope you find one of those people. It's not me. But go ahead.
Friday morning when Chief Justice Roberts takes the head count of where the justices are standing on a decision. So any influence that can be exerted on them before that needs to be done. And really what it comes down to, and that piece that you reference is a great article by Bishop Gene Robinson that was in USA Today, And it basically makes the point that, okay, so in this particular case, you're saying you want to be exempted from following the law because of your religious objections to birth control.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in other parts of the country, there are these bills where people want to be exempted from non-discrimination laws because they want to exert their religious objections over gay people.
Yep.
Where does this stop?
Well, that's you know, I think it was Kagan, or no, I'm sorry, it could be Kagan or Sotomayor, made the arguments that we've been making here about slippery slope, that where does this stop? How do you not cover a Christian Scientist mm-hmm. that says you can't have blood transfusions, you can't get any treatment, and well, to have them kind of go,
you know,
that,
as a gay man,
well, you can, but they'll shame
you. As a, you know, if you were to go to the ER, let's say that the closest hospital was a Catholic hospital or another religious hospital. They technically could, they could reject you based on the rationale coming out of Hobby Lobby. And let's not forget that Hobby Lobby offered this type of coverage to their employees before the Affordable Care Act. The birth control devices and pills that they object to were part of their original health care plan before
right.
Obamacare was even signed into law.
That's right.
So this is all about politics, and this is all
yeah.
about slowly trying to dismantle the Affordable Care Act. It has nothing to do with religious objections.
And there's a whiff of hypocrisy here, because Hobby Lobby carries many things that are made in China, and China, of course, has their forced abortion policy.
Mm-hmm. Ah, there you go. J'accuse.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but they want to make some money, Chris.
Oh, of course. Sure, yeah.
How about that indecisive Anthony Kennedy? Must be a Libra. I mean, really? How irritating.
Well,
I know you say
so
you can't tell from oral arguments, right?
But the impact that something like this could have, A, on business. This is bad for business.
Right.
The last thing businesses should want is for us to begin dismantling the kind of status that a corporation has. Because, you know, one of the things that you do as a corporation, an LLC, whatever, when you establish a corporation, you give up certain personal rights so that your corporation can be its own legal entity. Hobby Lobby being an LLC is so that the owners of Hobby Lobby, the CEOs of Hobby Lobby, cannot be held legally responsible if Hobby Lobby does something bad, sells a product that's malfunctioning, whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They can't be sued by the general public because of the status of their corporation. You give up certain rights and responsibilities when you take on the benefits of being a corporation.
Yeah.
One of those things should be your religious point of view.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like they've often said, you know, you can't tell from oral arguments because, you know, sometimes they're it's a kick in the tires of an argument, or they're playing devil's advocate. I mean, it's hard to say.
The Affordable Care Act was when the first case on the Affordable Care Act came up, that was, you know, equally troubling, I feel. People were really not sure which way it was going to go, and ultimately Roberts did the right thing. Hopefully, with this case, they continue to do the right thing.
You know, we'll see what happens there, but obviously, how far away can the case be where the Republican congressional nominee who says gays cause autism, dementia, and tornadoes comes before the Supreme
In that
Court
order?
To argue...
I mean, I didn't want to blow it, but I mean, we do cause tornadoes.
if Hobby Lobby sells you a defective model airplane, can you sue him?
As a friend of Dorothy, listen, anyone that's seen The Wizard of Oz knows gays cause tornadoes.
I mean, just my spinning on the dance floor alone is enough to cause those things.
I mean, is it me? How do they keep coming up with these ridiculous candidates? I mean, it's just...
I would say that they're scraping the bottom of the barrel, but they've barely opened it up.
Well, and that's the other thing. You know me. I'm a little happy-clappy. However, I'm tired of this, in March, this meme that the Democrats are doomed, because you can't underestimate, like, this guy, Pete Kelly, poll of the day for yesterday. It's so hard to pick. Arkansas State Senator. Did you see this one?
I believe I did.
I'm sorry. Alaska Senator Pete Kelly.
Is he the one that wanted to...
No.
It's so hard to pick them. There's
right.
one state senator, it's either Montana or Alaska, that wanted to make it legal for people to discriminate against African Americans or gay people.
Wow. I didn't hear that.
Yeah. Yeah, it just seems to me that a lot of these guys, not a huge understanding of the lady bits, and how all the lady bits work. Exactly. This on the heels, of course, Rush Limbaugh saying that thinking Sandra Fluke has to take a pill every time she has sex, or Mike Huckabee saying, you know, women need Uncle Sugar to pay for birth control because they can't control their libido. So Alaska Senator Pete Kelly said this when discussing his plan to have pregnancy tests in bars. Would you support, he was asked, would you support doing the same thing with birth control, making free birth control available in bars? He said no, because the thinking's a little opposite. This assumes that if you know you're pregnant, you'll act responsibly. Birth control is for people who don't necessarily want to act responsibly.
What? That's just the opposite. What the?
Thank you.
God.
Wow.
Right. Up is down, black is white.
Shouldn't be allowed to have sex.
Right, right. I just, I don't know. Yeah, never underestimate their ability to come up with new rapey Republicans or, I don't know, or bat
well, every couple
crazy.
Months there's a new one. And, you know, the elections in 2014 could be difficult for Democrats. You know,
yeah.
We just happen to be suffering from a lot of bad retirements, in very conservative states. Now, that being said, the same thing happened in the last two election cycles, and we did pretty okay. So we'll have to see where things go.
Turnout.
I hope Republicans don't get false cockiness over this. If they do well in 2014, it's simply because of where the races were. Demographics are still going to be playing against them for the foreseeable future. So as I said, whenever we've talked about demographics and how they're breaking for the Democrats, we can still have an election that we don't do so good in. But they're going to be coming few and far between the further along we go.
I'm guessing Limbaugh has some false cockiness, but that's a different story.
I was going to say, I don't think the cockiness is the problem, but the themselves
that
are running. Okay. Carl Frisch, great stuff. We will talk to you next week, honey.
All right, have a good one.
There he goes, Yay! Carl Frisch, exciting and new. Okay.
I just discovered something exciting. My vision is getting better because I could see that Travis is dyslexic because he put on there on the screen Carl Frisch. And I didn't need my glasses to see that. So
wow,
that's
what's going on? You've been eating your carrots, haven't you?
Yes.
Can I just say, Chris, as a fellow Libra, I am irritated by that indecisive Anthony Kennedy.
Yeah.
It is irritating. Is he like that at dinner? Is it salt or pepper, dear? No, I should watch my sodium, so maybe I should have the pepper.
How about
instead.
Paprika?
But, on the other hand... What do you want?
What if you two were at the same table together?
Oh.
Then you just whip yourself up into an indecisive tornado.
When Sally met Sally, right? Okay, 18 minutes.
I'll have what we're having.
18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-1-2. Stephanie Miller.
La 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 dee blah 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 blah. I got the funk.
La la blah 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 blah.
All right, Travis joins us now for the gay T-shirt off.
What?
What is your T-shirt, Chris?
It's a hippo who's running on a treadmill because he wants to be thin like a unicorn.
Yeah, good luck with
and
that.
And that is your My Little Pony shirt.
Yeah, it's Sweetie Bot.
Sweetie Bot?
It's obviously robotic.
All right. Associate Pony. Producer Travis Bone is on camera. Why? Because someone on Facebook talked about hot, hot, hot. We need our eye candy.
Hi.
Yes. Somebody who had only heard you had to confirm and said yes. Travis Bone, hot.
Yes, and his last name is a verb.
Yes.
Now or verb, depending upon the situation.
No, you're in here currently. Why? Because we share an obsession. What is it?
House of Cards.
House of Cards.
I've only seen the first season.
We are about to get
whipped. Don't give away anything. I get in trouble because you keep blowing plot points. Don't do it.
I don't.
Yes, you did. Don't say it again about the train. Okay, and so you told me...
I've only seen the first three episodes of season one.
Okay.
Well. You told me about the train.
Shush, about the train.
You told me about the train.
The first rule of House of Cards is you don't talk about the train.
Damn you.
God, Chris.
You like to taunt me because you are farther ahead than I am in season two.
But you've caught up.
But now I know what you mean when you say... We needed that.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Now
are we
going to
do that with Molly?
Now you just gave away something.
That is awesome.
Now you just gave something away.
You don't know what I mean.
Can we say that after you get done talking to Molly?
All right, so why are we saying this? Because Molly Parker's on the show today, who plays Congresswoman Jackie Sharp, who is ruthless.
She's coming up, actually, in about 10 minutes.
I know. Wow.
Very ambitious. Very ambitious.
Yeah, she's very ambitious. Iraq vet. I mean...
She's killed people.
I'm not talking about this. Not her as an actress. The character. I'm obsessed.
Did you just foreshadow something by saying she kills people?
She's killed people. She was an
Iraq
vet.
She was an Iraq vet, for God's sakes.
Wasn't she like a sniper?
She's a little frosty.
Maybe she has some skills that will be utilized.
Mm. Well, Frank would exploit that type of stuff.
That's right.
Yes, he would.
Can we talk about Frank Underwood's cufflinks?
Okay.
The FU cufflinks.
Oh, I did not notice that.
One is F, one is U.
Somebody gave him those as a gift. And at the have you finished the season?
No. Oh, so shush.
Well, he just folds his arm. He's got the FU cufflinks like right there. That's the last shot.
That is funny. I know someone that named his cats Cuff and Link, which I just
thought. Rocky's turtles and Rocky were Cuff and Link.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. All
right.
That sounds like something Chris would do.
All right, get out. I love you.
Yeah, get out.
Goodbye, eye candy. He needs to answer the phones.
Yeah, I know.
He needs to answer Jackie Sharp calls.
You know not to call when I'm in here.
Okay. Is it blowing a plot point to say she's sleeping with the black guy? Oh, no! All right, I think everyone knows that.
I didn't know that.
Well, it's not a plot point.
I don't have to get the second season now. Thanks.
Thanks.
Rosebud's the sled. Anyway... Jackie Schechner in hour number three.
That's right.
For Jackie's Healthcare Corner. Did you see John Harwood tweeted, is anyone upset by the ACA enrollment extension except those who want fewer people to sign up and exchanges to fail?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very good point.
No. Oh, John Boehner was apoplectic.
Is this a joke? It's a joke. It's nothing. It's communism.
Speaking of people who like... do you have that?
Yeah.
All right, fine. Go
Another
ahead.
Deadline made meaningless. You know, he hasn't put enough loopholes into the law already. The administration is now resorting to an honor system to enforce it.
Resorting.
The hell is this, a joke?
What the hell is this? What the hell's going on here? Is that it?
Yeah, because there were website problems, and now, you know, we're extending it a little bit so that more people might actually, you know, get affordable health insurance.
You can't do that.
Is this a joke?
This is a joke. What? You guys do everything right in 2 seconds. You don't get extra time. You don't get a redo a makeover.
Speaking of people that like red wine, yes. Merlot is his...
Yes, his poison.
Yeah. Paul sends me an item...
Paul Giamatti?
No.
I hate Merlot.
No.
No, different Paul.
No, a different Paul. Okay, I always like someone that has a worse, you know, well, I don't call it a drinking problem. It's a solution, but still, than me. I did not know such a thing existed. It's a bathroom shower wine holder.
Oh, wow. That's
if
great.
If you cannot get through your shower.
If you don't mind shampoo in your wine.
Yeah.
Let me just say, I confess to taking a really quick shower so I can get back to my wine, which is on the counter.
Now you don't have to. Now you can linger.
That's desperate. I guess
that is a worse problem than I have.
Now,
upside is that Fred and Max can't knock it off the counter.
Well,
while
yeah, but soap makes your hands slippery, so if you try and drink and
broken
it drops
glass
into,
in the shower,
onto the tiles, then
is that wine or blood? Who can say?
Oh no! Paul is the official comedy juggler of the Stephanie Miller Show, by the way.
Oh, we needed one.
Well,
is the juggling inherently funny, or are the objects he juggles funny? I'm not
sure. I thought Penn Jillette was the official funny juggler of the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't know.
Is he the one that talks?
Speaking of ridiculous products, have you seen this one? Now that I'm back on the road, I'll be going to Madison, Wisconsin for Sexy Liberal Saturday. Then we've got Chicago, all of us.
All of us.
And I might get this for all of us. Have you seen this from Homaker Schlemmer? Catalog of ridiculous items. The $99 Power Nap Head Pillow. It's a thing that you put on your head so you can take a nap in the airport and stuff. And there's holes here so that you can put your hands in it, I guess, if you're like laying down.
No, the holes are only invitation for people to put crap
sort of
in there.
What ridiculous person is going to put this thing on their head at an airport? It blocks out sound and light so you can take a power nap in the airport or wherever.
And miss your flight
because
you don't hear the announcement.
Because you can't hear the announcement.
Yeah.
What?
You miss your flight and you got that stupid thing on your head.
All right. Jackie Sharp from House of Cards next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's an artist. She's sensitive.
Forget her.
That girl will tear out your heart, put it in a blender, and hit trap head.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Here he is, Travis Bone, House of Cards aficionado like me. You two are amateurs. You're not even through season one.
I got through season one.
I'm a busy man. I have things to do. I can't just sit there
and
watch. You were
just looking at a cat video.
I'm speechless. I never get to do celebrity interviews here.
I know. You don't usually get invited in, but I love that he actually put on the screen Molly Parker, badass Speaker of the House. Is it wrong? I'm way more excited to talk to a fictional congresswoman than I am any real congressperson we've talked to.
She's also an actress.
Yeah, right. I don't listen. Don't get me started. Good morning, Molly Parker. I am unnaturally excited about this interview.
Good morning.
You are so awesome on House of Cards.
Thank you so much.
You play Jacqueline Sharp, the Democratic Congresswoman of the House. Very conniving. Very ambitious.
Yes. I mean, she's all those things.
What is it like, though, to be part of something that's not just a show? It's a phenomenon, isn't it? It's an obsession.
I guess so. I mean, you know, the work is great. Like, it's really fun to make the show. Working with Kevin and Robin is fantastic. So it has all that stuff, and the writing's so good.
Yeah.
But since it's come out, you know, Netflix, I guess, released it a month ago, and a lot of people have seen it.
Do you get recognized a lot?
Yeah. I've been doing stuff for 20 years and was on Deadwood, but had a wig, and it was like such a period piece. And so this show, I get recognized.
I bet. And do people, because they're so into it, be like, could you be nicer to him? The guy you're sleeping with, he really seems to care about you, you frosty bitch.
So far, nobody's really given me any advice.
Good.
But I think there are those shows that people get so obsessed that they don't even get that, okay, you're an actress. No, because we're so into the characters.
I mean, I know that has happened to me, you know. I remember once, it was years ago, being in a airport and seeing this guy getting his bags and thinking, there's my good friend, and like going over to say hello and halfway walking over to him realizing it was this English actor, Robbie Coltrane, who I had never met.
Oh, wow.
But I'd just been watching in this show, Cracker. I don't know if you guys remember, but it was one of those moments where you go, oh, my God. I mean, there's something so powerful about how we just consume television now, and anyway.
And we don't
for
just
a split second, I thought I knew him.
You're right. And we just don't consume House of Cards. We gorge.
And also, Netflix is kind of changing how we consume shows.
Right.
Yes.
You know, people binge watch House of Cards.
They do.
Now.
They get you, don't they, Molly? They're just like, you know, the next episode will start in 7, 6. All right, I'll just watch one more.
I know. I have to go to bed. No, I'm going to stay up. Yeah, it's really, you know, the thing is, I think that it's kind of how people want to have the options. And I know for myself that I was already starting to watch TV like this. So once I had a DVR, then I could just tape stuff. I would tape sort of a whole
season
and then watch it all. Because I don't like waiting a week. But that's just me.
I hear the final season's going to be in pill form.
I do feel Netflix lightly judging me. I do get it, though. Stephanie, are you still watching House of Cards? Really?
No, I think they're really happy about it.
Yeah, but I think they are. Yeah,
it's interesting because we do have this, like, now we're talking about TV with this language of basically addiction. You know, like we're binging and, like, it's the most addictive, blah, 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 which, you know, may not be such a good thing.
We're talking to Jacqueline Sharp. Conniving Democratic Congresswoman, Speaker of the House, actress Molly Parker. Molly, you know what's interesting, too, because we talk about actual politics all the time here on our show. I mean, there's a time when, like, the country is so fatigued by actual politics and politicians.
Right.
It's weird, right, that this show is so popular.
Well, I think part of it is that this is a Congress that's getting stuff done.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a lot of action, you know, there's a lot of law being made on this show. So that's part of it. And then also, you know, the show is essentially, you know, it's Richard III or it's Macbeth. Like it has those themes. And in a way, Washington is just a great sort of environment for that kind of show. You know, it's a show about power.
I love the Shakespearean asides, too.
In case you didn't know, it was.
Well, I mean, and even President Obama, hasn't he mentioned that? Like, oh, some people say I should be a little more Frank Underwood.
And I'm like, yes.
Yes, push someone in front of a train, yes!
I'm just worried that John Boehner... Oh, I was going to say, if I'm bored of John Boehner got sober, he might be like Frank Underwood. That scares me.
Now, your character, Jacqueline Sharp. I just had to do that.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm just saying you're...
I don't want those on set.
You are crossing Claire Underwood on her bill. Do you fear for your characters? she's been known to be ruthless.
I'm not going to lie. I was afraid. For my job. You know, here's the thing. Certainly this show, you know, this is a show about a man who moves through people to get what he wants, you know. So as a supporting character on the show, you may be moved through, if you know what I mean.
Yes, but, pushed out of the way.
Yeah, or pushed in front of a train.
Yeah, but in the meantime, you'll, you know, and you know, I don't want to give anything away, but in the meantime, you get a lot of good, juicy stuff to do. You know, and I'd rather play the part of the person who... is in there in the drama then sort of manages to make it through four seasons working at a desk.
Well, I was going to say, I know, and your character is literally sleeping with... is he a lobbyist?
Yes.
What's the character?
he's a lobbyist, yeah.
No, I mean, that's what I mean. Everything on this show is literal as to what's... I mean, I'm laughing. I'm going, oh, my God, the headline today, Molly, is about a drunk Secret Service agents watching President Obama, and I don't want to give anything away. But there's a storyline with the Underwood Secret Service agent, which is...
Yes.
So, I know. I mean, it's what do they call it? Ripped from the headlines,
you're
it seems.
More than
I know.
Them,
it's like, I really hope that, you know, people keep asking me, like, do you think that this show is what Washington's really like? And all I can say is that I really hope not.
Right.
I mean, let's hope not.
I think we really hope it is.
It's more entertaining, at least.
But more murderous.
Yeah, exactly. But more stuff gets done. In the
action.
DC of House of Cards.
Yeah.
I love it's so funny. There you were just saying she's killed people and Chris like the actress? No, the character. She's an Iraq vet. But yeah, I mean that's I don't know how to put that. Is this character kind of character unique for you in that, you know, she really is. You can see the way I love the way you you express it in your face. You can see sort of her, you know,
she's
just
tough.
Yeah, she's tough.
It's called acting.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, she's tougher than me. I can tell you that. That's for sure. I haven't played a woman who's a soldier before, and so that I tried to sort of think a lot about what that is and what that's about, and for her, and to kind of bring a sense of that. You know, because for all of it, that she is ruthless and pragmatic and all those things, she's also turns out to be quite principled. And those principles sort of have their roots in her military background.
Yeah. I mean,
is not something I'm really, you know, familiar with, so I had to do some...
Well, I have to think as a Canadian, you think we're all crazy anyway. Our politics, so...
Pretty much.
Molly Parker, you are a delight, and congratulations on all the success of House of Cards, and we hope to talk to you again.
Thanks so much.
All right, thanks, Molly. There's Molly Parker.
Well, if this TV thing doesn't
Congresswoman Jacqueline Sharp.
She could do phone sex with that voice. Wow, damn.
All right, Jim.
All right.
Jim's pants is tied again. it really is. It's like... not since, I don't know what for me, like Sopranos, Sex, all those HBO shows would become, you know, more like addictions. This is like...
I'm between House of Cards and Scandal. It's like,
oh,
everything
Scandal's
I want to think
awesome.
About DC is amazing.
Yeah, I love Scandal. Scandal.
The band?
No.
I'm not the warrior.
Yeah, Kerry Washington is, you know, we've had her on the show, but she is amazing.
We need to get her back.
Yeah, well, let's get her back. Get on that.
I'm working on that.
What? How long has it been since your last Netflix booking? Like 40 seconds. Get out there.
I'll go work on some of your lesbian prison fantasies first.
Orange is the New Black is starting up soon.
Uh-oh. I haven't gotten into that yet,
his
ironically.
Pants are tight now.
You haven't seen Orange is the New Black?
I haven't.
Pants don't get tight when they're excited. What's wrong with you people?
You haven't seen Orange is the New Black?
Yes, I have, but okay. I've only seen like an episode or something.
Oh my God, you need to see it. It gets so much better after like episode three. It gets amazing.
What are the chances I wouldn't be into the Les one? I don't know.
Wow.
There's more than just Les stuff going on there.
Right.
It's okay. Good. You need to watch that.
Yes.
All right, I'll get on it.
Your parents will get something.
Oh my God, go away.
Go
away, Brony. Okay.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. 44 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's just implied, but we all know what's going on in this thought bubble. The kids don't know, but we do.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I say it here, it comes out there.
Scandal, get it?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Who just ate a buffalo? Fred did. Fred had a bite of Mommy's Weizenburger. Come on.
Okay. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from him. Don't you give him the stank eye.
Wouldn't that be cannibalism in this case?
You're just mad because he got your protein. Ha ha, Mongo.
I have my protein. I'm always loaded up with protein over here.
Yeah, sometimes.
I'm never in need of protein.
Sometimes I cook you some, and sometimes, you know, man for himself here.
Yeah.
All right. Jackie Schechner coming up for Jackie's Healthcare Corner in hour number 3.
Yep.
She was delightful. Molly Parker,
yep,
who plays Congresswoman Jacqueline Sharp. House of Cards. Oh, by the way, this was the headline. Okay, no, I can't say, but I just watched the episode, Travis. The Secret Service agent. The Underwood Secret Service agent. Okay. So I won't say anymore. You gotta watch that episode. Secret Service agents on Obama detail sent home from the Netherlands after a night of drinking. Oh, dear.
Oh.
Oh, dear. 3 Secret Service agents responsible for protecting President Obama in Amsterdam this week were sent home and put on administrative leave after going out for a night of drinking. One of the agents found drunk and passed out in a hotel hallway.
Oh, that's not good.
No. The president could have picked him up and used him as a human shield, I suppose.
Sure.
Since he's not. The president may be consciously uncoupling from that Secret Service agent as we
speak,
because
dare say he is.
In a Paltrow-esque way. yeah. Okay, so that happened, and apparently we all let it.
I guess.
Well,
could be worse in Amsterdam. He could have had a, you know, block of hash up his ass. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you don't, in Amsterdam, you don't need to put it up your ass.
No.
Oh, that's true. Just, oh, well, to get home with it, you do.
Hookers and hash. It's, you know.
Yeah,
right.
That's kind of the thing in Amsterdam.
Right, but if you want to travel with it, if you want to get it home, you have to smuggle it.
Then it goes up your ass.
Yes. Ask Rick Overton. He has a hilarious bit he's been doing for years. I don't know, what is it, using a paddle to get the block up there? Never mind, it's not important now.
And then he goes out for flapjacks.
I believe the sound he said is shkank, shkank.
Shkank.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
In his youth. Okay. by the way, speaking of acting, Carolyn in Seattle, staff, love listening to you in the MOOCs via podcast. Why, thank you. You mentioned Diagnosis Murder, where, I played
Stephanie Miller.
So not really acting, but
ruthlessly ambitious Stephanie Miller.
Right. That's why I
You relate to House of Cards.
Right.
Yeah.
And I went to look at your IMDb page.
Oh,
I love
boy.
That I have one of those,
if
I'm an actor. You played a nun? Yes.
Yep.
Yes, I did.
Computer said yes.
In the Valerie Bertinelli 1980-something movie, Shattered Vows, I played a novice nun. Yes, I did.
There's something.
I didn't have any lines, but.
There's something still wrong with your IMDb page, though. It says you were in Happy Birthday to Me with Melissa Sue Anderson, but you weren't.
You know what? I'm getting to an age where I don't remember what I've done anymore.
It was Stephanie
I'm almost
Myler.
Certain I didn't do that.
Were you on General Hospital? Because you're
yes.
On... Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. No, that was a radio DJ thing. My radio DJ partner and I. It was. We won a contest or something. I don't know what the hell it was. It was a promotion. All I know is all I had to say was, "Here's the chart, Doctor." That was it. I had one.
So you didn't play a DJ.
You didn't get cast or anything. It was like, no, it was a DJ promotion.
Here is the charts, Doctor.
Like, okay, could you just tone it down and just give it to him and get out of the frame thing?
Here is the chart, Doctor.
Yeah.
Here is the chart, Doctor.
Or
I did a little slapstick. Or you drop the chart.
There's the chart, Dr. Dre.
Or you hand the doctor the chart and you say, Blanche, it's time to go.
Oh, no, wait.
That's right, no.
Oh, that was my line in Streetcar. Wait a minute.
Chart,
no, I'm
it's
sorry.
Time to Blanche.
And
no.
Scene. And, right. No. And slate. Here we go. Try again. Yes, okay. I believe it on, right, Biker Mice from Mars, right?
Right.
Yep. What's the fun fact about that? Who won an Emmy for that?
I did.
Jim Ward. Due to his fabulously popular work here on the Stephanie Miller Show, was cast in Biker Mice from Mars, for which he won an Emmy.
We worked with Ian Ziering and Lisa Zane, sister of Billy.
Peter Strauss. Who is?
In fact, I covered for him when he wasn't available. I did my best Peter Strauss impression.
He's been both a rich man.
Maybe that's why I got the Emmy.
He's been a rich man and a poor man, as you know.
Yes.
As
mostly
it goes
rich.
In show business. You're also listed as Sister Sleaze on the Brother Weeze radio show in the 80s. Yes, that is all.
Yeah.
Listen, I have a very storied... You know, when people ask me, will you run for office, I'm like, seriously, are you high? Do you know what my background entails? Like, we're not even talking about the itchy kitty.
Right.
Oh, and then she asked, what is Muffin Top about? And I had to think for a minute. That was the latest film in which I played.
Stephanie Miller.
Right, with the Catherine Michonne film. I don't know when it comes out.
Oh.
Catherine Michonne, my friend, wrote it for me. She also, what's the other fun fact? She wrote my role in Diagnosis Murder, where I played myself with Dick Van Dyke. And I still get 47 cents every now and again.
Yeah.
Thank you, Catherine. Get those residuals. Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. And Magically Full Circle, what else was I in as?
Stephanie Miller.
That also involved Gwyneth Paltrow. View from the top.
View from the top.
She's in a bar, and I'm on the TV behind her interviewing Candace Bergen's character on one of my canceled TV shows, whatever. Mm. Okay, so my point is...
It was your Oxygen show, wasn't it?
Right. Okay, so Muffin Top, I don't know the release date. How would I know? I'm always a bit player. In the meantime, I'll be waiting for Hallmark Channel's cycle around to Season 7, Episode 9 for your star-making turn with Dick Van Dyke. Yeah, that was one of my many, many, many triumphs. Hard to keep track. Oh, by the way, speaking of triumphs of the stage and screen.
Yes.
I will, of course, be on stage at the Barrymore Theater with Sexy Liberal with John Fugelsang and Carlos Sells Rocky and a special celebrity guest on panel Saturday also for the first time ever. Someone's going to lick hot cheese off me.
What?
Because it's Wisconsin. We have a fromagerie. Offered to bring fondue.
You're going to allow someone to pour molten cheese onto your skin?
I said I'm working out the details. It's Wisconsin. You have to do something regarding
or
cheese.
Or maybe you'll just have hot brie on you, which...
No.
Jim would like that.
All right. Let's just move on. There are important international things going on. The president says Russia clearly miscalculated in trying to drive a wedge between the U.S. and the European Union. He said every member of the G7...
Seven?
Putin hasn't... Do you think Putin is smacking his head somewhere going... I could have had a G8.
Hey!
I read that somewhere on the Twitterverse yesterday. I stole it.
I could have had G8. But yet.
What?
Yeah, food in your teeth.
All right,
yeah.
Thanks. He said every member of the G7 has imposed sanctions on Russia, and the G7 will meet here in Brussels in June without Russia.
Ha! Ha ha!
You can't play in any of our reindeer games. So if anyone in the Russian leadership thought the world wouldn't care about their actions in Ukraine or that they could drive a wedge between the European Union and the U.S., they clearly miscalculated.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to recalculate route.
Recalculating.
Putin might want to recalculate route. Okay. The president.
Nor will Russia be dislodged from Crimea or deterred from further escalation by military force. But with time, and if... the Russian leadership stays on its current course. Sanctions will expand, and the toll on Russia's economy, as well as its standing in the world, will only increase.
Yeah. You could have had a G8, doy, Putin. Okay, the president again.
Russia's leadership is challenging truths that only a few weeks ago seemed self-evident. That in the 21st century, the borders of Europe cannot be redrawn with force. That international law matters.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. And also we met with Pope Frank.
Yes.
Did you see all the
morning.
Hope and Pope?
Oh, really?
Someone who said comets.
Did you see that Fox and Friends has accused Obama of meeting with the Pope only to improve his approval ratings?
Oh, God. Come on. What the hell? What do you think presidents do? Oh, start unnecessary wars like George Bush.
That's
right.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, all right. The president one more time.
If we applied a cold-hearted calculus, we might decide to look the other way. Our economy is not deeply integrated with Ukraine's. Our people and our homeland face no direct threat from the invasion of Crimea. Our own borders are not threatened by Russia's annexation. But that kind of casual indifference would ignore the lessons that are written in the cemeteries of this continent. It would allow the old way of doing things to regain a foothold in this young century.
But Sarah Palin can see Putin from her house.
Yeah, she should have given us a heads up, right?
Heads up,
man. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller swag. Last day of the Free Speech TV Fun Drive tomorrow.
Ooh.
All right. And see. Freespeech.org. Do
That's
it.
Right.
Do it.
And if you want to see Travis Bone modeling the swag, go to the Stephanie Miller Show Facebook page or to the @SMShow Twitter feed.
Fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me,
Stephanie
Miller. Jackie Schechner, live in hour number 3.
Yep.
It's Eye Candy Hour here on the Stephanie Miller Show. All right. Speaking of sexy liberals like Jackie Schechner, Charles writes, staff, please come back to D.C. It's like a Fellini circus here. When you guys are in town, we wake up from the inside the Beltway punditry nightmare for a few hours, besides our favorite bars across the street from the Warner Theater, and we need an excuse to go. No, you don't, Charles, but all right.
How come he didn't
start drinking without us. We'll get there eventually.
He didn't point this bar out to us when we were there before, last year.
My brother-in-law lives right above the zoo bar across from the zoo.
Oh, my. Irma Gerd. By the way, speaking of the 2014 Sexy Liberal tour, guess what? Because you know I'm happy clappy.
You are.
And we're trying to turn out. Let's go, people. Julie from Seattle says, no, Beltway bastard people. Democrats are not doomed in 2014. The GOP pollster propagandist Rasmussen, we are up 41% to 37%. That's in a generic...
Rasmussen says that. Yum, pinyum, you need.
Democrats have taken a 4-point lead on the latest generic congressional ballot, which I know means bupkis in March,
yeah.
But still, don't get all gloomy.
It's a catastrophe. It's not pointless. You can't. Oh, her head? Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Yeah, just saying. Get up. Turn out.
That poll really doesn't mean a lot. I know.
You step by Rasmussen.
I'm not telling people not to vote. I'm just saying that particular poll.
You're just a big pile of.
No, I'm a pile of reality.
You're a buzz harsher. For instance, speaking of happy... Could I have
steroid-induced
happy
reality.
Hulk smash.
Can I have some happy music, please? Sure. We are economy stimulators, according to Glenn in... Aaron in Glen Burnie, Maryland. He lives
Glen
in
Burnie?
Glen. Right.
Says Aaron. He's like Scotland.
Aaron and Cooper. I don't know who Cooper is. Child, dog, something.
Partner.
Right. Stephanie, I want to let you know you stimulate the economy with your show. On the days I work from home, I watch the live stream on freespeechtv.org.
Is that what the kids are calling it? I'm stimulating the economy.
That's freespeech.org.
Right.
Not freespeechtv.org.
Oh, sorry. Well, that's she got it wrong.
Okay.
I'm just reading.
I'm just giving out the correct address.
Thank you. I noticed this. I noticed I was having difficulty hearing you in the MOOCs. What? She's hard of hearing, Darth Vader. What?
Ow!
People are used to hearing us on Current, where the very loud wax vac guy was.
Yeah.
To try to resolve the problem, I would try watching the stream, but listen to you on my iHeartRadio app.
Ah.
I can't imagine it quite syncs up.
Turns out there's a 7-second delay between the two. I can't imagine it syncs up. Now we're really just, we're just with people on purpose. It turns out there's a 7-second delay between the two. I decided
turns
that
wasn't...
Turns
out there's a 7-second delay between the two.
Stop it, Jim. I decided that wasn't working for me either. When I'm in the car, I listen to you on Sirius XM Progress. But I figured my boss would be irate if I spent 3 hours sitting in the car listening to the show when I'm being paid to work. I know I can get the podcast for $4.95 a month if I buy a year in advance, but I prefer my Steffi Live. Listen, just do it for backup. So I went out and bought speakers for my computer so I could finally hear you and the boys and Rude and Charlie Pierce and Sexy John Fugel saying blah, blah, blah. I have no other use for these dang speakers other than to listen to you during your show, but now I get you in stereo and the economy got stimulated. Thank you for doing your part to help the economy. To further stimulate the economy, I plan to make a donation to Free Speech TV, too. Aaron, nice to fine say. American.
You only have 2 days to do that.
Stereo, except for my shoes.
I understand there's a seven-second delay, Jim.
I understand there's a seven-second delay. I understand there's a seven-second delay.
What do you think, Chris?
I understand there's a seven-second delay.
I understand there's a seven-second delay.
Oh, the Stephanie Miller Show, proving once and for all you're only young once, but you can be immature
forever. Shut up. You're immature. I'm not.
This is actually what my real life is like. I just got an email from my good friend Eileen.
Yeah.
We haven't talked in a while, and so she's like, I hope you still love me. And I'm like, of course I do, you big giant pumpkin duty head. And she just wrote me back, you're a duty head. So this is what my personal life is like. So now I'm going to write back, I know you are, but what am I?
Does she only have one leg?
No.
Eileen?
Eileen,
hey, you said we were immature.
Really, people? Jim, I understand there's a seven-second delay.
I understand there's a seven-second delay.
Stop that now.
Stop that now.
Oh, God.
All right. Hey, there's important things going on. The president's talking about Russia here. Here he is.
Russia's actions are a problem. They don't pose the number one national security threat to the United States. I continue to be much more concerned when it comes to our security with the prospect of a nuclear weapon going off in Manhattan.
Yeah, Mitt.
Okay. And one more time, the president.
Today, NATO planes patrol the skies over the Baltics, and we've reinforced our presence in Poland. And we're prepared to do more.
Cha. All right. So we've been talking about the other big story, Supreme Court. Hobby Lobby. Terrifying. Terrifying stuff. How long do you think it takes Anthony Kennedy to pick out a suit or a tie every day?
All I know is there's a seven-second delay.
Really?
There's a seven-second delay.
Stop it.
Stop it. He's going to do that annoying echo thing, right?
Yeah.
Where he just repeats everything I say,
right? Just repeat everything I say, right?
Oh, my God. All right. Oh, my God. We got a giggle. We got a Natan giggle. Which is good.
Yay!
Right. Yay. Argentinians will laugh at anything.
Do you giggle differently in Spanish?
Pardon me?
Do you giggle differently in Spanish than you do in English?
We'll ask Carlos.
No say.
We'll ask Carlos next week as well. All right. We've been talking. Everybody keeps using the term slippery slope, but that's what it appears to me. And I don't get. I don't feel like anybody gave a good answer. And I think Kagan and Sotomayor ask, you know, a lot of these questions. Mm-hmm. What then prevents anybody with any, you know, religious belief from imposing that on their employees? Right. I mean, to me, this is about workers' rights more than, Anyway, Ruth Marcus in the Washington Post, slippery slopes before the court. In the context of talking about limits on free speech, it's common to say your freedom to swing your fist ends where my nose begins. Mm-hmm. That seems a sensible way to think about the freedom of religion case just argued before the Supreme Court, whether employers can be required to pay for contraceptive methods that would violate their religious convictions. And why is nobody pointing out the science yet? They don't object to every kind of birth control, only the ones that they think are, what's the word, abortifacient? Or mm-hmm. I don't know how they, and they're not.
No.
These forms of contraception, why doesn't this case get thrown out on the science that those, they are.
Oh, science. You hear science.
It is not, it is before it, the embryo implants. It's not,
right,
they are
exactly.
Not abortion. Okay.
It's the opposite.
Right. What are the chances?
Their argument is that it's fertilized, and so therefore it is a potential life. I know. I'm not.
Whatever,
saying
Scalia.
Oh my God. I'm not saying that they're right. I'm just trying to give you what their thinking is.
It seemed like there was a 7 second delay in your logic. Didn't it seem like there was a seven
second
delay?
It's not my logic. It's their logic. I'm just telling you what their logic is.
You know what playing devil's advocate makes you? The devil.
Oh Lord. That's the only reason I'm here, to play the devil's advocate. Otherwise, it would be all yay Obama all the time.
A fertilized egg is not a human being.
Is there something wrong with yay Obama? I think not. Tuesday's cases implicate a third party, Ruth writes, the company's employees and their rights under the Affordable Care Act to no added cost contraception, respecting the religious claims of Hobby Lobby and Conestoga Wood. Conestoga Wood threatens to diminish the rights of their workers. That's the other thing in this, that she's absolutely right. Of course, to even get to that point requires addressing the central oddity of the case, the notion that corporations possess religious beliefs. None of this makes any sense to me.
No.
So anyway, yeah, it was Justice Sotomayor pressed on the issue in a mere 42 words into Clement's argument. What about employers religiously opposed to vaccines or blood transfusions? Mm-hmm. Clement contended, this made no sense to me. It was sort of like, remember Alito during the State of the Union going, no, President Obama, Citizens United is not going to lead to a flood of cash. What? It's like exactly what it led to.
Of course.
Clement contended that accommodating corporations on contraceptive coverage was easier because the Obama administration has already relaxed the mandate for religious institutions and religiously affiliated nonprofits. He dismissed the parade of horribles. The corporations would pose religious objections to complying with Social Security contributions, anti-discrimination laws, or minimum wage requirements as entirely unlikely. That would never happen.
No,
that is crazy.
Crazy talk.
That is no. But Justice Elena Kagan predicted under Clement's approach, giving extreme deference to employers' free exercise claims, she said you would see religious objectors coming out of the woodwork with respect to all of these laws. Mm-hmm. And I say yes.
That's yes.
Siding with the company, suggested Anthony Kennedy, who is apt to hold the deciding vote, is allowing the employer to put the employee in a disadvantageous position. The employee may not agree with these religious beliefs of the employer. Do their religious beliefs just trump? So that sounded like he's on our side, and then he, in the end, Kennedy may side with the companies. He said, under your view, a profit corporation could be forced to pay for abortions. Indeed, the companies contend that they are precisely in that fix because they view these intrauterine devices and emergency contraceptives as abortifacients, which they're not. Mm-hmm. Isn't there going to be a scientist called to
They only believe it so right. because there's
right.
a fertilizer.
Anyway, as she points out, they only they complain only about particular forms of contraception.
Right.
What happens when a company after company balks at providing any contraceptive coverage? What happens when they decline to provide spousal benefits in jurisdictions
company.
That recognize same-sex marriage?
A Catholic company would be opposed to every single kind of
right, because we all know there's no Catholic ever that has ever used birth control because
absolutely
it is against
none.
The church rules.
Of course.
All right, 17 minutes.
Just like you've never taken the Lord's name in vain.
Right.
Ever.
Nay, right.
G-D it.
Right. Damn it. All right. 17 minutes after. It's 17 minutes after the hour. You know what that means.
What?
There's still a 7-second delay.
There's still a 7-second delay.
Right. 17 minutes after.
There's still a 7-second delay.
Right. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. She's been living in her uptown
world. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online from anywhere. Start your 30-day free trial of GoToMeeting today. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try Free button. Enter that promo code. Okay, 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Dan in Chicago on the Hobby Lobby case. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Steph.
Hi.
Did you know there's a 7-second delay?
Jim, I understand there's a 7-second delay.
It's 22 minutes after, yeah, if you don't count the 7-second delay.
Right, exactly. Thank you. Go ahead.
Only
Randy Rhodes notes for sure. Okay, go ahead.
As far as the Hobby Lobby thing, would these people who support them also support the Jehovah's Witnesses that say they own a corporation and they wouldn't allow blood transfusion? Would they support them in not doing that, or a kidney transplant? Or a company owned by a Christian scientist who doesn't believe in medicine, is not offering any medical.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean
this is what we're getting into.
Yeah, it flummoxes me.
Are you flummoxed?
Yes.
Are you flummoxed? Are you flummoxed?
Stop it.
He's flummoxed by the 7-second delay. He's flummoxed by the 7-second delay.
I am flummoxed by the indecisive Anthony Justice Kennedy. Early on, I'm reading one analysis. Mm-hmm. He seemed to offer hope to the pro-choice side, noting that Hobby Lobby could simply not provide any insurance at all, simply pay the $2,000 per employee annual tax. He asked, how is the employer hurt? When Clement and the other conservative justice tried to throw in extra costs, i.e., for increasing salaries to compensate for not offering health benefits, Kennedy persisted. Say it's a wash. What's your case? This is what I don't get. I know oral arguments, they're meant to be confusing, but I'm going, okay, so he's on our side. Clement wasn't left with much, only an even weirder claim that Hobby Lobby considers it a positive religious obligation to provide health benefits.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, Hobby Lobby must be allowed to provide some insurance, but may not be forced to provide some other insurance. I mean, this is just, it's a bunch of legal
hodgepodge.
Gobbledygook.
Sure.
Yeah, and he points out one of the things, too, is just how you cannot say this is discriminatory to women. I don't know. The 6,000 women who work for Hobby Lobby may have to pay for their own IUDs, even as the 14,000 male employees get Viagra and even penis pumps covered.
How is that Christian?
Right?
What would Christian
who would Jesus
pump.
Give penis pumps to?
It's what? In the shape of a cross.
Ow.
This is all just wrong. One can only hope the overwhelmingly white, overwhelmingly male population in the courtroom can appreciate that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. What's wrong with these people?
Who are these people? And why are they on a 7-second delay?
Stop it. Chris, this goes to your point that I choose to remain hopeful, but Jay Michelson in the Daily Beast say his headline is contraception looks like a loser at the Supreme Court. Oral arguments made it sound like the government's mandate to make businesses cover birth control under insurance plans will die for the sake of religious freedom. It is a high-stakes battle, in part because of Obamacare, but in part because of a much wider religious liberty movement that is attempting to carve out religious exemptions to civil rights laws. And they're talking about the obvious cousin is this turn away the gays bill in Arizona. Reading the tea leaves of oral arguments is a fool's errand. That's what I was just saying.
Yeah.
Perhaps a justice is needling attorney because the lawyer's argument is stupid, or perhaps a justice is kicking the tires of an argument she wants to advance. From the outside, the behavior looks the same and can lead to some amusingly wrong conclusions. Still, advocates of reproductive freedom and LGBT rights have reason to worry. If today's arguments were any indication, the odds appear stacked against them, which I just find incredible. Strongest objectors to Hobby Lobby were, oddly, the three female justices.
Yeah. You think?
Huh. Most likely the decision is going to come down to Justice Kennedy, who again, playing to type, offered tantalizing clues to both sides. But at the end of the day, he seemed to side with Scalia, Thomas Alito, and Roberts, and with Hobby Lobby. What does Clarence Thomas think about penis pumps, one wonders?
We never know. Hmm. We will never know because he doesn't speak
or
up.
Coke cans.
Perhaps 20 years from now, his wife will call me to ask me to apologize for that remark. And explain why I did what I did to her husband.
Wow.
Eh, boy. Oh, so Scalia remains a douchebag. That's, I guess, breaking news to nobody. Salon with a good piece, though. This is blatantly hypocritical. The Supreme Court heard oral arguments, blah, blah, blah. Whether a for-profit corporation's religious convictions can override an Obamacare mandate, the insurance plans cover contraception. The for-profit businesses in these cases rest their claims on the 1993 Religious Freedom Restoration Act, a federal law that passed in response to a lightning rod Supreme Court case, Employment Division versus Smith, which had found that the First Amendment's free exercise clause did not protect members of the Native American Church from being denied unemployment benefits because they'd used peyote. Right.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
The author of the 1990 decision was none other than Antonin Scalia.
Huh.
But the firebrand justice who rejected the religious liberty claim of the workers in Smith appeared sympathetic on Tuesday to the religious liberty claims of the business owners in Hobby Lobby. Is this just another pro-business decision at its heart?
Absolutely.
It's another just anti-worker decision.
This is a pro-business, right. Anti-worker Supreme Court.
Right, right. See, it probably would have made your heart soar like a hawk if he had ruled.
My heart would soar like a hawk if you had.
Right. Ruled in favor of the peyote-smoking workers, but yeah. No. Yes. So a lot of... Yeah.
I wouldn't drive if I were on peyote. That's probably unwise.
Right. Right.
Not that I've ever done it.
No, of course not.
Because it apparently makes you hurl. It's poison, basically.
Your car would soar like a hawk over a cliff.
You know why exactly. I almost mispronounced that? Because some people call it maize.
Oh,
now,
God.
Really?
What? All right. This is, and then anyway, the oral argument was opened by, and I still don't think we've gotten an answer to this. They just seem to be dismissing it. What about a secular employer who doesn't want to pay for vaccinations for religious reasons, mm-hmm. doesn't want to pay for blood transfusions, doesn't want to pay for medication made from pork products? I mean,
medication made from pork products? It's called yes. bacon, actually.
Who doesn't think bacon is medicine, right? Anyway, just troubling stuff. All right.
We call it maize.
All right. Perhaps you're thinking of a blue corn moon.
Yeah,
okay.
You'd think we were going on vacation this week.
I know, right?
What? Maybe we will.
We're under a lot of stress. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It may sound like a boring life, but at night, I dress up like a giant spider and fight crime.
Okay. All right.
Bob, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Mark in Chicago. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Stephanie. Hi, guys. I love you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, delay there. Just wanted to say...
Is there a second delay? I didn't know that.
Is there a 7-second delay? I didn't know that.
Yeah. I just wanted to say, I think there might be a point that people are missing with this whole thing with the Supreme Court case.
Yes.
And that is, it's weird to me that nobody is looking at the fact that it's a benefit. And just like a benefit that you offer in terms of cash with a paycheck, they don't have any control over whether they're using the payment to buy drugs or buy alcohol or buy porn or whatever they don't want them to buy. So in the same way, I don't see why they're not looking at this like, you know, you're getting this benefit so you can buy whatever you want with it and we don't have any control over that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's an interesting point. You could exactly, wait, you mm-hmm. could use your abortifacient money to buy porn and then what? Then where would they be morally?
Right.
Well, exactly.
That's a great abortifacient. That's, you know,
I'm really surprised you pronounced that correctly.
Yeah.
I know.
Amazing.
Isn't that something?
Did you practice?
No, I did not. It has to do with lady bits. Which, by the way, here is my part 7,000 today of men don't seem to know a lot about lady bits, okay. including Scalia. Scalia said during the oral argument, which sounds dirty already.
It's hard to make an argument when you never.
Right? Like and then you wouldn't need to worry about abortifacients. Okay, he said, you're talking about what, 3 or 4 birth controls, not all of them, just those that are abortifacient. That's not terribly expensive stuff, is it? Someone said, is that a compelling argument? Scalia, they were saying it exposed Scalia's lack of knowledge. One among those 4 IUDs, the most effective form of contraception, also the most expensive. So he doesn't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
But how is that an argument? They're not that expensive. It's like that. Okay. Well. How much does a penis pump cost, boys? I'm not saying you know. I'm just asking.
I have no idea.
What
but,
does that have to do with the argument?
Well, remember, Scalia is a hardcore Catholic, and so he has no idea about any kind of contraception at all.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, because then there could be as many Scalias as possible.
To him,
who
a condom could cost
Scalias?
$100.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, he's never bought one.
Uh-huh. To control his libido or...
When's the last time you actually used cash, I wonder?
Exactly.
See, I don't know. That's people on staff to do
that. Yeah, well, because they probably don't wear pants under... Well, Clarence Thomas doesn't under the robe. So they'd be like, oh, I don't have my wallet because I don't...
And we know Ruth Bader Ginsburg doesn't wear pants
right.
under that.
No panties?
No panties.
I don't think you know that. Okay.
did I just give
didn't
you...
need that image?
Yeah,
no.
That...
Okay.
Either of those images.
No.
No.
And Elena Kagan and, you know, Sotomayor's are probably the same size, so they probably get confused if there's a, you know, under thing drawer for Supreme Court justices in the back there. Are these
yes,
yours?
There's a panty drawer in the Supreme Court.
Let me check my briefs.
We got an Argentinian giggle from
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, we did. Yay.
Yay. All right. Guess who else is a douche? Governor Rick Snyder of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
He said that the 300 same-sex couples were legally granted marriage licenses Saturday in Michigan. They are legal, but the unions can't be legally recognized while a stay is in place in Michigan's gay marriage lawsuit. Senate Minority Leader Gretchen Whitmer said the governor's declaration was simply disgraceful. She said by having the audacity to claim their marriages are somehow less deserving of legal protections, he's bolstered our argument that the ban on same-sex marriage is an unlawful violation of our Constitution's guarantee of equal protections in the first place. A county clerk said it's disappointing. They're disappointed in the governor. To have a governor who continues to discriminate against citizens of our state by refusing to extend rights to legally married couples, Brown said the governor should end the state's pursuit of an appeal of the decision.
Snyder, I just met her.
Wrong side of history.
Mm-hmm.
Saying.
Yes.
Just saying. So we were mentioning the Pope is meeting with Hope.
Yes.
Hope and Hope. Get it? With President Obama.
Hope and Rope.
But Pope Frank on Monday accepted the resignation of the Bishop of Bling. Did you see this guy?
Yeah, I heard about this guy. Wow.
He spent an estimated $43 million renovating his private residence last year.
Huh.
Imagine
where did that money come from, I wonder?
Jim, this one's for you.
Oh?
Iran's building a replica of the USS Nimitz.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
For Porqué.
Nobody seems to
know. It's building a mock-up of American nuclear-powered aircraft carrier, possibly with the intention of blowing it up for propaganda value, according to a report in the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
Based on our observations, this is not a functioning aircraft carrier. It's a large barge built to look like an aircraft carrier.
Driven by a large marge.
Intelligence analysts believe the vessel is something Iran could tow to sea, anchor, and blow up while filming the whole thing to make a propaganda point. Or
whatever.
That's weird.
Something.
What? Or maybe it's an amusement park.
Oh, perhaps.
It could be.
Who can say?
Waterworld kind of a thing.
More importantly, please, a moment of silence for Montecore.
Sorry, who?
The white tiger who...
Right.
Chomped down on Roy Horn's head.
Who ate. Right.
Well,
exactly.
He must have been tasty, I guess. Yes.
Did you ever see the photo shoot they did with that white tiger and another one behind?
I guess.
They were behind them for the photo shoot after the thing.
After, yeah.
And I was like, oh, it doesn't. Seem like a... Roy, did you say... Because if you did not... Roy, is that your stomach? Siegfried and Roy are mourning the loss of Montecore, the white tiger, who both attacked Roy on stage and apparently once saved his life. It's less well known that the white tiger, who Roy called his friend and brother...
Mm-hmm.
Listen, my brother hung me.
Well, true. It was suggested at the time that the tiger was actually trying to save him because he had had a stroke.
That's the time he was talking about. Roy called Montecore my lifesaver and explained the tiger was the one responsible for pulling me to safety where the paramedics could help me after my high blood pressure made me dizzy on stage. That was another...
Mm. No, that was the same...
No, he's saying it's a...
Was it different?
No, he was saying it was a different show when he got dizzy.
Oh, really? Okay.
Okay. I thought it was always speculated that that was the same show.
No, I'm confused now.
That's not what it says in the story. Okay. I don't know.
All right, fine, whatever. You know, whatever.
I don't know. Maybe he should have gotten him. What could you put, like a mouth guard, something? Because you know, being rescued by a tiger is a little bit of a double-edged sword.
Kind
of,
yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Rescued, eaten. You know,
something.
Who can say?
Right, yeah, right. Listen, don't I know from my personal life? It's a very fine line.
What? Huh?
What? Okay, listen, let's talk about uncouplings, conscious uncoupling.
Oh, do we have to, really?
This is so irritating, it would make me want to make someone unconscious before I uncoupled from them.
Well, you know, who hasn't done that, actually, after a long night of drinking, but...
You've uncoupled while unconscious?
Well, never mind.
No. Oh, you've coupled while unconscious. Oh, Jim. Wow.
Show took a dark turn.
Is it me? I feel Gwyneth Paltrow seems a skosh bit...
Pretentious?
Nutty?
A little bit.
Pretentious. A little bit.
Well, I first of all, I don't mean to be irritated by what people name their children, but I don't know. Apple and Moses just seems deliberately...
Moses supposes his toes is roses.
Anyway, despite news of their separation, Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin have decided to work together for the good of their family. In their split announcement, they said, "We are and always will be a family. In many ways, we're closer than we've ever been."
Roger Houston, yeah. We are now consciously uncoupling. Over.
Jim said it sounds like something from Gravity.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Commence.
Look out. Hurry up. There's space debris coming.
Commence with conscious uncoupling. Over. Roger that, Houston. We're...
It's like George Clooney goes spinning out into space.
Right.
Yeah. They say, like, always look the darkest right before you see the light. Like, we're closer than... Right when you break up is exactly when you're closer than ever.
Yeah.
Which is why you break up. Because you're closer than ever.
Oh, my God.
Are you working out some
no.
issues?
No.
She's always working out some issues. What are you talking about?
What do you think radio is?
That's the whole show.
Yes, they are. They have described it, as everyone's talking about, as consciously uncoupling. Mm-hmm. They're consciously uncoupling. It's not breaking up, people.
That's better than unconsciously coupling.
No, right.
Sure. Be,
right.
Because you could be with a tiger and not know it.
Right. Chris Martin once said on being married to a world-famous movie star, "I always felt it would be great to be with a very powerful woman because it would always keep you in your place and remind you they still weren't very good."
Wow.
He doesn't
think they both have issues.
He's a very famous rock star. And
yeah.
So I knew that there would be negatives to it, which were all obvious to state, but the positives outweigh them, and being married to someone very successful and very powerful basically keeps you hungry to improve.
Sounds like an S&M thing going on there.
On her famous exes, he said, "You've got to be hungry. If your wife went out with Brad Pitt, you'd want to prove yourself." You know what I mean? It sounds exhausting to me. It sounds like
He doesn't think very highly of himself.
Maybe.
I'm not as good as Brad Pitt. I'm always trying harder.
Maybe he has to try to fix himself.
We're just pop psychologizing now. We don't know.
Trying to fix you. Oh, or maybe he's subconsciously saying he wants to fix her permanently. You know what I'm saying?
Total transformation?
Yeah.
Stop. Stop it. Okay. Hey, this is good news. Who else loved Miss Congeniality? I did.
I never saw it. Sorry.
Sandra Bullock is planning a TV version of Miss Congeniality, based on her FBI agent, Gracie Hart.
Awesome.
Who went undercover at a beauty pageant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's great.
And anyway. Punched the guy in the nads about 17 times.
Right.
Hilarious.
It's awesome. It's hilarious.
Oh, right. Maybe Chris is into that. Chris, not this Chris. I mean,
Chris Martin?
Chris Martin.
Okay, and finally in celebrity stat, Kanye West's daughter peed on him during his Vogue cover shoot.
Sorry, what?
Peed on him.
Peed on him.
Oh.
During
she's
his
infant.
Baby. She's an infant.
Oh.
Not Kim Kardashian.
Okay.
Yeah,
I was going to say that.
He was on the cover
difference.
Of Vogue with his wife, Kim Kardashian, and his baby peed on him.
This is getting weirder and weirder.
I don't. You know, every time Carlos as Rocky is here, it just makes me. Makes us reaffirm our life decisions not to
not
have
to
children.
Have kids. Yeah.
Doesn't sound awful.
Yeah.
John Fugel's saying too. Awful.
The worst thing in the world.
Awful.
Nightmare.
Oh, he was telling the story yesterday that his daughter ripped off her dress and her underpants and threw them at the wall and started screaming at the other parents, "Leave me alone!"
While naked.
Well, naked.
Listen.
Wow.
Don't look down on strippers.
It
could pay for college.
True.
Daddy wouldn't have to work so hard.
She'd send her to the Itchy Kitty. You could show her some things.
Saying college money.
Stripping it helps make ends meet. You know.
You might not want to discourage that. I'm just saying. Yeah. Okay, 46.
I think making ends meet is a different. Well, never mind.
Right.
It's not.
Right. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human Prozac. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
And you didn't think that I would hear it. People hear you talking like that, getting everybody fired up. Cause there ain't no holler back girl. Ain't no holler back girl.
That's not what I hear.
That was gratuitous. He just looked at a picture of Representative Blake Farenthold and he goes, "He looks like he smells."
I mean, I'm sure he does.
He does look like a big, toothless, doughy pet load, I must say. He's the Republican representative from Texas. Oh, he's one of the first targets of Bill Maher's Flip a District.
That's right.
Okay.
And he says, being targeted by Bill Maher is a badge of honor, he says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
And he went on.
Okay, 51 minutes after the hour. Jackie Schechner on her way in for hour number three. We will do a Jackie's Healthcare Corner. Ask Jackie.
Whatever.
Speaking of which, as we mentioned, John Boehner slams. That's so weird. You'd think he would be helpful in every regard in wanting as many people as possible to sign up for Obamacare.
You would think.
Huh. The White House announced an Obamacare extension that would give people a few weeks extra time to completely enroll.
Extension? There is an extension.
Jeez, the White House is a joke.
Another deadline made meaningless.
Man.
You know, he hasn't put enough loopholes into the law already. The administration is now resorting to an honor system to enforce it. The hell is this, a joke?
Well, is this a joke, sir?
The joke, I see.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, that was it.
He said he slammed the White House for another attempt at manipulating the laws for its own convenience.
No.
For allowing more people to sign up.
Allowing people to sign up?
Like you
said
earlier.
Because there were website glitches in the beginning, so they're extending it slightly.
Yeah,
right.
You can't extend stuff. You just gotta do it now. Nobody ever says anything.
Like you said earlier, the only people who are upset about this deadline extension are the people who want to repeal Obamacare.
Exactly.
Right. Who want it to fail.
Work at all.
Yeah. Right. They don't want it to work.
Why won't he let it fail? Bastard, I hate him.
He said this is why so many people worry about their respect for the rule of law.
How am I going to call you a failure if you keep not failing? Stop it. Cut it out.
Wait, can I hear that again just for his ability to pronounce honor system?
Yeah.
Another deadline made meaningless. You know, he hasn't put enough loopholes into the law already. The administration is now resorting to an honor system to enforce it.
Resorting.
The hell is this, a joke?
What the hell is this?
Sorry, it was resorting he had trouble with.
This isn't Merlot. What is this? What, candy? What is this?
Port?
I'm not figuring this swill.
Okay, Senator Harry Reid yesterday.
The joke, I say to my dear friend, John Boehner, is him having more than 60 votes over there to terminate Obamacare.
Yeah, exactly.
Why won't he terminate his own law? Why does he have to force me to do it?
Here is a Duke basketball fan, Senator Mitch McConnell.
So many waivers, special favors, and exemptions to help Democrats out. At the heart of the law, the individual mandate, may actually no longer even be viable. It's basically become the legal equivalent of Swiss cheese.
Swiss cheese.
Is he getting a whistle?
Start off the whole.
He's had a whistle for a little while.
Really?
Yeah.
Swiss cheese.
It's hard to tell with no lips. Maybe he has an actual whistle from Cracker Jack or something in there.
That's what you get in Cracker Jacks.
He swallowed a Cracker Jack.
I'm sure. Can I hear? Let me just hear one more. Sorry. I just.
So many waivers, special favors, and exemptions to help Democrats out that the heart of the law, the individual mandate, may actually no longer even be viable.
Viable.
It's basically become the legal equivalent of Swiss cheese.
Swiss cheese. It's basically the.
Is there a train?
The queer of.
You know what?
What is that?
Cheese.
It sounded like he put. You know, a quarter in one of those gumball machines and twisted it. And instead of getting a gumball out, he got a whistle and he ate it anyway.
You know what's no longer viable? Tracks. His lips. Yeah. And his ability, because of that, to pronounce viable.
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 It's no longer viable.
That was starting to sound like Bridge Over the River Kwai. That was awesome. Okay.
Swiss cheese.
Okay. All right. All right. Yeah. Hey, looky here. A study finds 5% of us use Facebook during sex. People. That is antisocial.
Look what
media.
I just did.
Hey, look who friended me. Oh, I'm sorry. Were you done? You weren't done? Oh.
It's kind of like that anniversary card I saw. There is nobody I'd rather lie in bed next to and look at my phone with.
Oh, wow.
That's what it's come to.
Yeah.
A survey by condom maker Durex
found
that 5% of those polled admit to using Facebook during sex, and 10% have read a text during sex.
Read a sex?
No, have read a text during sex.
During
wow.
sex.
Right,
really?
During sex.
That's got to be an exciting text, then, if that's...
Right. Forward. Right. Right. The poll of 2,000 people in the United Kingdom, oh, well, it's Britain, also found that 12% of them have answered the phone during sex, and 33% said technology is getting in the way of their sex life.
No, you're getting in the way of your sex life, Nimrod. What's that? Oh, I have to get this. Why? Might be the president. No, it's not.
Yeah,
could be Commissioner Gordon.
The answer to every question about what you doing over there is I'm on my phone, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm
wow.
Checking to see if anybody important might be trying to contact me. Okay.
See if anybody liked that picture I posted.
Oh, my God, look at all my likes. you don't like me anymore. Okay, sorry.
Here's a picture of me answering the phone while not having sex.
Unfriend.
Christine in Cleveland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Christine.
I'm surprised that you are not headless DJs, because my head explodes every single day. Anyways, McDonald, the turtle,
McConnell.
He was talking about the Democrats need the no, it's everyone, it's your fellow countrymen, it is America. That's my little observation, and an observation about the Supreme Court. Voting matters. People need to get out and vote.
Yeah.
It's really important to look for a progressive court and not the old white men. And I have a suggestion.
Yes.
I suggest that maybe you could have your meet and greet and your lunch and probably maybe breakfast sausage with Chris.
Pardon me? Chris has sausage for breakfast every morning. Okay, 58 minutes.
Good sausage.
What did I mean by that?
I don't, yeah.
That's, okay. 58 minutes after the hour. Jackie Schechner next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Walking on sunshine.
Yeah.
Ow.
I'm sorry, Jim. We have some more Mitch McConnell audio. I'm sorry. Senator McConnell had some further thoughts on the
whole freezer full of popsicles.
He has a whole freezer full of popsicles?
Yeah. Let me turn that off and then I can.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
I got a whole freezer full of popsicles.
That's great. And what else?
That's a nice muscly throwing on you got there.
Okay. Anything else?
Sorry to leave you so many messages.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mitch. All right. Hey, right. Look who's here, everybody.
Thanks. Know anybody with a pair of strong young hands to help me in and out of the tub? All right.
It is Mitch McConnell.
Look who's here. Jackie's news. Good morning, Jackie Schechner.
Good morning.
We feel that Mitch McConnell's mouth whistle has become more prominent.
Oh, okay.
Prominent cheese.
Did you guys follow the whole McConnelling trend on the Daily Show?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, that happened when we were on vacation.
Right.
Yeah. Don't you think there's, like, liberal directors that have infiltrated, like, Republican ads, and they're just like, Mitch, that'll look so great if you just turn really slow and smile really slow to the camera?
2 minutes of no words, just images of you doing stuff.
Right. Mitch, you are so visually compelling. You are so handsome. Right? Right. It is.
Look, I got a flintlock.
Okay. He was talking, of course, about the Affordable Care Act. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Oh, the Affordable Care Act?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Comes up from time to time.
Yeah.
I was reading a John Harwood tweet, and he said, is there anyone that's against this extension that just doesn't want Obamacare to work? Is there any reason to be against it, you know, other than that you just want the exchanges to fail?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting the way the administration is maneuvering through this, because it is interesting to me that they're adding extensions and waivers and they're making changes as they go along, which I can understand could probably be frustrating for some.
Right.
Right. And I get that.
Right.
I'd like them to stick to the word of the law, at least as they implement it, and then they can make changes when needed. But it seems to me it would be a stronger argument if they were actually following along with what they passed. But that all said, we didn't anticipate all of the problems with
Healthcare.gov,
right? And if people are having some difficulty, then let's go ahead and give them a little bit more time to get enrolled. Although I will say that, that what we need to address at this point is what's happening on the health insurance company side. And the opponents of healthcare reform are saying things like, yeah, well, people are signing up but not paying their premiums. Well, people aren't paying their premiums because they're not getting the bill from the insurance company telling them how exactly it is they're supposed to pay their premium. And you can't log on to the website without your membership ID number, and you can't get your membership ID number unless you paid your premium.
See, so it's a failure.
So there are so there's a lot of loopholes and problems that are happening here that are not the fault of the Affordable Care Act or the fault of a lot of the different players that are involved here, especially the insurance industry. Mm-hmm. And so I think that we need to be careful that no matter how many allowances we make along the way, or allowances rather, we make along, I'll make up words at this
right,
hour.
Sure.
I'm not quite awake yet.
I know I'm a snoozer.
This whole sleeping in thing.
Yeah, this is, wow, you're really throwing you off your game.
Right? All of the allowances that we make are actually addressing where the problem is, and we're not just giving the insurance industry more time to continue to drag its feet.
Right. May I remind you, when you worked at Current, this was the end of your day.
Yeah, I had this conversation.
You started at 3 a.m.
She's become legally blonde now. I just got up at the crack of noon.
Yeah. Like, I'm in a relationship now, as we've discussed, and I had this conversation with him yesterday because we met kind of at the tail end of my tenure with Current.
Right.
And I said to him yesterday, gosh, it would have been so awful if I were still on my old schedule. And then he said, wait a minute, you mean your day was over at 9:30? Where would that have been bad?
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, you're actually right. We would have had all day to hang out.
Except that you're too tired to really be very
to do anything
compelling.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah.
You're just shot by, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning. Speaking of insurance companies, the other piece, I don't know if you saw it, we were talking about this week, was in the LA Times about how deliberately confusing a lot of the names of these plans are. You know, Premium Plus, Select, Silver, Platinum, 3000, Premium, like what, you know.
Yeah.
And why?
Well, what they decided to do was create these different tiers of plans, right? The bronze, silver, gold, and platinum.
And the tiers of a clown.
Which would allow people to understand that there were different levels of coverage.
Right.
Your premiums could be lower, but your deductible would be higher, and so on. And then within that, you have what you always had in the insurance company, in the insurance company nomenclature, which was like HMO, where everything in-network is covered, then your PPO, where you could go to whoever you want, but you also had out-of-network benefits. Now they've added something called an EPO.
Right.
And to be perfectly honest with you, I had to Google that one. I mean, it's just...
They've
added...
Then there's ELO and ELP, too.
Right, and are any of them down with OPP? That's the important thing.
Yeah, you know me.
Right? Mm-hmm. How do you know?
It's... I, to be perfectly honest with you, I don't even remember. It's an in-network, but you have different benefits. It's a whole mess. I'll have to look it up again. To be honest with you, I don't even remember. But the traditional ones are the HMO and the PPO. And so what gets complicated is not only the different levels that you'll pay, but then also the different categories within those. And look, I wish it were simpler, but it wasn't simple to begin with. The insurance industry never made it simple, and this is at least better than it was before. I mean, people looking at the insurance marketplace now through healthcare.gov or through your state exchanges may say that it sounds complicated, but if you ever went out on the insurance market by yourself before this, there was no central place to go.
No.
You could go to eHealth Insurance or you could call the individual companies. But then after you go through the whole process and they say, oh, by the way, did you have a sneeze back in 1982? You get rejected. So this is at least you can't get rejected for a pre-existing condition that they define themselves. And you have a place to comparison shop. And frankly, if you don't like what you find on the exchange, go out and talk to the insurance companies yourself and see if they can offer you a better deal.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of them sound like looks in that Ben Stiller modeling movie. What's the look?
Zoolander.
Right.
Blue Steel.
Oh, Blue Steel.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just... That's good, Jim. Yeah, that was it. Okay.
Yeah, that was good for TV.
I was going to say, those on the radio couldn't see that.
No, but that was
your silent impressions are not very popular on the radio.
His Marceau is eerie, though. Really is. Get back in the basement. Okay. Go down the stairs to the basement. Go. Okay.
In a box.
Hey, thank God I have health insurance. Why, Chris?
Why?
Because I'm going to let someone pour hot cheese on me Saturday night.
Wow. Yeah, molten cheese on bare skin.
Unwise.
So, Jackie, you've been to sexy liberals. You were just in Fort Lauderdale. You have to, like, tailor the show to the place. And something is going to have to... You got to up the bar in Madison.
Okay.
Because they, first of all...
It's been sold out for a long time.
For months. But it was sold out in 20 minutes. You got to reward them with something.
Okay.
Maybe you should wear a wetsuit.
Let's see. Oh, it's from Fromage Nation, Kyle, who owns Fromage Nation
in Wisconsin,
right? Staff, we had it because they were just going to bring us cheese, right?
Is. Okay.
We have a better idea. Sexy liberals are probably into fondue on stage at the Barrymore. It could be the first time that hot cheese has been licked off a national lesbian radio star in the history of live entertainment in Wisconsin.
Hmm.
I can add it to my illustrious resume.
I'm not so sure
we would
about
love to facilitate that benchmark achievement. And by the way, since our fondue is traditional Swiss style, it has wine in it.
Oh.
What's not great about
wait,
this?
Wait, you
whole
agreed
scenario?
To have somebody lick well during the hot
cheese. Hot girl on girl section of the show that
somebody
I
somebody will lick in. Cheese off of.
I hot think cheese. So. I think so.
Or molten cheese.
You know what would be awesome is to have a raclette off of her.
Raclette?
You know what that is? That's when you that's a Swiss thing where you take a big block of cheese and you heat the cheese and then scrape the molten cheese off. And then put it on, you know, bread or whatever.
That sounds messy. However.
Oh, and fondue spread all over you.
We
got
to start thinking about Chicago, April 26th at the Chicago Theater. I think Jim is going to have to taunt me with sausage of some kind.
Of some kind?
I'm still hung up on this cheese thing. You've agreed to this?
Yes. Someone offered and I was like, yes, that sounds awesome.
Did you think that through?
It's
my point is you can still get tickets to the April 26th Sausage Fest with Jim.
Third Degree Burns?
And Chris and Carlos Elsrocky and John Fugelsang.
It is kind of a sausage fest.
It is.
Sausage and cheese.
Who knows what we'll come up with for Albuquerque in May and Minneapolis in June.
A tamale fest for Albuquerque.
There we go. All right. You can see pictures of probably all of this and find out the correct ticket links up at sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal Facebook.
Hooray.
All right. It's the parade of people that want to talk to Jackie. Hang on. Carl in Hobby Lobby real quick. Carl in Massachusetts. Hi, Carl.
Yes, I wanted to ask Jackie.
Okay. Yeah, hi. Good morning.
Good morning. Hobby Lobby might be getting their own double-edged sword in their back. Is when they... When they deny health coverage, birth control coverage, and these women get pregnant, the only reason why the insurance companies really like birth control is that it's a lot cheaper than pregnancy and birth.
Yeah, well, it is more
Hobby
expensive.
Lobby, is Hobby Lobby going to have to pay a lot more money for their insure their employees?
Well, not only that, but you got maternity leave too.
Yeah.
Right? So not only are you paying more for somebody to actually have a baby, then you've got to take care of them during maternity leave and paternity leave if they've got that within their benefits.
I doubt it,
but they could.
yeah.
You know, but that and I make this argument, I mean, not to go all far out with it, but I make this argument with the pro-life pro-choice argument is if you're pro-life and you're going to force me to have a child I don't want, who pays for that?
Right.
Who's going to raise that child? Mm-hmm. Because it's much more expensive to raise a child that goes through the system that wasn't wanted by their parents than it is to allow me to choose not to have a child.
Yeah.
So I wonder about that. It's a great point, is that if you're going to force your employees not to be able to have access to birth control and they get pregnant, then somebody's got to pay for that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and plus we were saying, we've been talking all week about just the mixing of science and religion in general. I mean, first of all, this is not based on science because they are not abortifacients, the birth control they're even talking about.
Right. No, it's preemptive, right?
Yeah.
It's preventive.
It's preventing the sperm from inseminating the egg.
Right, and
preventing the need for an abortion.
Right.
So
right,
they should be for it.
Right, and the arguments that came up, of course, that we've been talking about all week as well, are the slippery slope ones where, is it Kagan or Sotomayor said, what if your employer's against blood transfusions? What if, you know, they're
against... I mean, there are some religions where they don't believe in modern medicine. So, you know, at what point do you draw that line? But I do find it disturbing that it's such a important topic to a corporation that it's gotten to this level. I mean,
I know.
Just seems so strange.
Jim was married to a Christian Scientist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if a company is Christian Science, are they prevented from providing health insurance at all?
I don't know. I mean,
That's a question for the courts.
You know, I would turn around and say, do a little homework on the company before you work for it. But at the same time, I know that jobs are hard to come by, and it's much easier said than done. And,
yeah.
But I do know. I mean, there are certain corporations that believe certain things, and if your beliefs are not in line with that, then
can a corporation believe in religion? Or is it the people that make up the corporation?
But corporations are people,
my friend. My friend.
No, they can't. It's the people who make up the corporation.
Exactly. And that's a slippery slope that Citizens United gave us.
Right, Jim, be honest. When you were getting close to divorce, were you like, nah, you're right. Medical care is overrated, huh? All right. Right back with more Jackie's Healthcare Corner on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, my insurance is an OPP. It covers hot cheese burns. I checked.
Is it? Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah. All right, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Nurse Jackie is with us.
I just looked up
healthcare
the
expert Jackie Schechner live in studio.
HMO, Alphabet Soup, yes. PPO, yeah. EMO, the EMO.
ELO.
ELO.
Electric Light Orchestra.
Yeah.
Hello. Oh. How are you?
Hello.
And I should have known this, and I had to remind myself, but an HMO is you have to go to somebody in network, and mm-hmm. you usually have to get a referral in order to go see a specialist. With an EPO, you have to go in network, but you can do whatever you want when it comes to emergency care, and you don't necessarily need a referral to go see a specialist. But if you want the most kind of freedom within your network options, the best thing to do usually is a PPO, although it's more expensive, where you have in-network coverage and then some coverage out-of-network.
And if it's ELO, then if you just pick up that telephone.
Right.
Sure.
Now, Jackie.
Yes.
We were saying of this Hobby Lobby, you know, if they obviously win,
yes.
then obviously the female Hobby Lobby employees do not get contraceptives covered. However, the men will get Viagra and penis pumps covered
Woo-hoo.
That work for Hobby Lobby.
Oh, that's great.
Lisa writes, Steph, according to the Internet, penis pumps average $390.
Yikes.
So very nice of them. Generous of them.
Are they proven effective? Do they work?
I don't know, Chris. Is yours working now?
Oh, it works grandly.
You know who will never need one of those?
Who?
John Fugelsang what? Is on the phone. Hello, John Fugelsang.
Good morning. Yeah, listen, I'm excited about Hobby Lobby, and I'm looking forward to now smacking right-wing guys upside the head as per my new religious beliefs, because it's protected.
That's right.
And you can also confirm that I have once backstage at a sexy liberal said, oh, my God, you have a really nice package. Have I not said that to you?
Yes, you have said that many times.
Hey, John, it's Jack. Did you hear about
Jackie,
this?
Good morning. I enjoyed hearing you talk about it. I think Congress needs less homophobes and more HMO-phobes.
Yeah,
what's up?
Did you hear about this hot cheese in Madison thing?
Yes. You mean this human disgrace that's going to go on stage at our sold out show?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you agree to participate in this?
No, I will not be participating in that.
No, he'll be too busy doing his cunnilingus superset.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'll be bringing the dignity
one in
level
honor
up.
Of my mother.
Right.
I'll be bringing the dignity level up. Thank you very much. But I'm excited. So, Stephanie, are you having hot fondue poured on you?
Yes.
I haven't.
It's,
you know,
it's
we
fondue
haven't,
human sacrifice.
We haven't worked out the details, John. But as you know, we try to custom fit our sexy liberals to the city. And there must be something cheese related in Wisconsin.
You didn't think this
there's
out.
There's different cultural preferences of the intellectuals in every city, so it's glad that you're being,
Maybe we should bring some Coke bottles so we could suck some Coke bottles in honor of the Coke brothers. I don't know. let's improvise,
yeah,
John.
But molten cheese on your skin is not a good thing, Steph.
Hmm. I am so excited for this tour. This is where the whole thing began back in 2011, and this show sold out in like a week.
Yep.
So as excited as I am to go on to Minneapolis and Chicago and Albuquerque after this, I can't believe like Madison, Wisconsin sold out in a week.
Yeah, we are. Well, and listen, we've already started spitballing for the big Chicago show at Chicago Theater that Jim and Chris will be at because Jim could taunt me with sausage.
Sausage Fest.
Right.
It's literally a sausage fest.
Right. We could see if Denny Hastert wants to come. You never know,
get
John.
Get some servalette, some bratwurst, right. some right. backwurst.
Let's get thinking. Something spicy and hot for Carlos in Albuquerque. You know what I'm saying?
I can't imagine buying tickets to anything else.
And in June, you know what we'll have for the June 7th Minneapolis show?
What?
Some kind of buffet. Something reasonable.
That's going to be a big show because if anybody cares about the Koch brothers not killing Al Franken, oh my God, it's incredible how much money they're spending just to take Al Franken out. I haven't seen people hating a comic this much since my last management company. It's terrible. I'm very excited to get back to Minneapolis and do all we can to rally the base there.
And I believe Dave in Minneapolis will be doing his Marcus Bachman impression. I think he will be singing Clang, Clang, Clang Goes the Trolley. To open the show for us. It's very, very exciting.
Sure.
You have to customize, Chris.
Low, high, blow, low, a wailing we will go.
So John Fugelsang, how do you, we were saying that sometimes oral arguments.
Was Jim just singing carousel lyrics?
Yes.
Yes, he was. Oh, we're at a hard break. Do you have to go, sir?
No, I can stay.
Oh, good.
Yay.
Fabulous. All right, John Fugelsang.
Get him 2 days in a row.
I know. Oh, it's a little bonus. I wonder if it has to do with the scintillating Jackie Schechner being here.
I think it does.
All right, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
This city needs its news.
Oh.
And you are going to deprive them of that because I have breasts? Exquisite breasts?
Max loves Jackie Sheffner.
I got a kiss.
Max is so handsome.
Jim and I just gave Max the double scritch of his life.
Scritch, scritch, scritch.
34 minutes. What? Has Animal Planet called yet?
Not yet.
34 minutes.
Did
after
we stop
the
hour. Going for the Cooking Channel and now we're going for Animal Planet?
I know. I made Bison Burgers earlier, so you know, either we're just opening up our options.
You're just a regular Bobby
it's
Flay.
It's a whole new world. Pardon me.
You're just a regular Bobby Flay.
Thank you for not saying
Paula
Deen.
I was here for the meatball day.
What's that?
I was here for meatball day.
Nurse Jackie is here with us. She's a.
We could go for Discovery Health.
What's on your sleeve? Is that blood?
Really? Well, could be. Okay.
I can say.
You're stuffing yourself up for the molten cheese.
Yes, exactly. Could be lipstick, could be blood. Who can say? All right. 1-800-STEPH-1.
You don't seem all that concerned.
Nurse Jackie, healthcare expert Jackie Sheffner is here.
Maybe she can look
let
at that
look
blood.
At your, look, yeah. Let me look at your cut and see what's going on there.
John Fugel saying sexy liberal joins us by telephone. He will, of course, be on the stage of the Barrymore Theater with me Saturday night for Sexy Liberal. Hello, John.
I don't really see how you guys can joke around now that Gwyneth and Chris Martin have broken up. I don't really
consciously uncoupled.
Yeah, I consciously uncoupled from Coldplay shortly after the third album. But, you know, celebrity breakups are sad, but not as sad as people who really care about celebrity breakups. Just remember that.
Yeah, what is conscious uncoupling? I don't... It's
conscious uncoupling, I think it means the rhythm method, but I'm not sure.
It's just so pretentious.
That's what Onan did, and God punished him harshly.
All right, hang on, let me put him on here, carry the four. Steph in Madison, you're on with Jackie. Hi, Steph.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Oh, man, I cannot wait for Saturday.
Me too.
We're living in a frickin' wrecking ball, and only sexy liberals can save us, for sure.
Is Miley Cyrus on the wrecking ball?
Listen, we are coming to the Koch Brothers subsidiary of the state of Wisconsin.
God, exhausting. I'm going to be ushering, and hopefully my body's going to be up to it. I might have to bring my cane. But anyway, I'm going to be wearing my no-no as a brooch.
Your no-no hair removal device. Thank you. Thank you for wearing various products that Mama endorses as...
Yeah, well, and it's some anti-walker thing on my T-shirt or whatever, but I just have to say one more thing.
Yes.
Chris?
Yeah, hi.
Man, this, the Fromination place, the cheese place.
Fromagination?
It is awesome.
Well, thanks for rubbing it in my face that I'm not going to Madison.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, I know, but I don't think it's wise to have hot cheese poured on any part of your body.
No.
Listen, we'll improvise.
Maybe they just let them bring you a nice solid chunk of cheddar or something like that.
Oh,
and,
great. The people can use
cheese,
as a...
hot cheese on your body? I don't want to party with you.
So someone can use it as a projectile if they don't like our jokes. Thanks.
I'm in enough pain.
All right. Love you, Steffi. Can't wait to see you too, honey.
What if went bobbing in cheese instead?
Bobbing?
Yeah. Like bobbing for apples.
Karen is.
Bobbing in tomato.
Bobbing for fondue.
Sticking your head into molten cheese?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
You are weird.
Well, it doesn't have to be molten.
There's so many ways to say screw you third world, but really, bobbing for cheese.
Jackie Sheffner, super freak. Karen, you're on with Jackie. Go ahead.
Did I interrupt something?
Well, clearly.
Not really.
Nothing important.
Anyway, Jackie.
Yes.
I had a friend who is actually an insurance agent. Mm-hmm. He said that living in Indiana, that he has to buy separate policies for his children. And do you know anything about that? I found that very odd, but then again, it's Mike Pence. So, you know, we're kind of...
That I've never heard of. I mean, obviously, children are always covered under their parents' policies, or usually covered under their parents' policies.
And, you know, they want to, I mean, the Republicans are into let's break it if we can, but to me that would be like, why would they be required to buy separate policies for their kids?
I mean, the only thing I could imagine if somehow they were getting assistance and they wanted them to be on separate plans sort of for adult, if they didn't have the Medicaid expansion and there was sort of like the children's health insurance program and then assistance for adult. I mean, that's the only thing I could think of where it would be separate and you'd have to buy any sort of separate policy. Your children are covered, usually covered under your family plan.
Jackie, you know, in general, we read a letter earlier in the week. You have to hope in general that a lot of the real stories of the real people that are helped are going to overtake a lot of these fake Republican stories. And what was it, Chris? She's a person that had health insurance all her life. Yep. She was paying a certain amount on COBRA when she left. Then she got a staph infection. I think was in the hospital for 6 weeks. She could never get insured after that. Like, you know, so she didn't have insurance. Mm-hmm. Her daughter, I guess, had migraines from the time she was 14. She couldn't get insurance for her. Mm-hmm. So now she's basically saying all that has changed with the ACA, and she's paying half what she was paying. Mm-hmm. And those are, the majority of the real stories, and that's stuff that's easy to understand. And that's why I keep saying run on the Affordable Care Act, not against it.
One of the things I'm seeing, which is really nice, actually, is some of the tweets that are going out, like from NFIB, which is the National Federation of Independent Businesses, which mm-hmm. claims to speak for small business and doesn't. It's actually very much a racket in that way. But they've been sending out anti-Affordable Care Act tweets and videos and ads and things like that on Twitter. But the
it sounds like a Coke front.
But the best part, the best part from that is that people are responding with disbelief, and they're responding with angry retweets and responses saying you're lying, this isn't true, let it go. Paul Ryan did the same thing yesterday, sent out something about the Affordable Care Act, and people responded like, stop, go do some real work, like this is useless. And I think it's really nice if
I'm sure the intern who handles Paul Ryan's account was shocked by that.
Oh, sure. No, I mean, I'm sure that the actual lawmakers have nothing to do with it. But at the same time, I think it's really fascinating that at least we're picking up some steam in social media, that people are looking at these videos and these propaganda messages and saying this is baloney and it's not true and stop. And it's not going to make much of a difference, I'm sure, considering we're up against so much money. But at least it's nice to see a little bit of that pushback.
Yeah. John, let's talk Hobby Lobby case at the Supreme Court for a moment. Now, as a man that will never need Viagra, in fact, you have to take penis relaxer pills, don't you?
It's awful. I mean, you don't even know.
I know. No, I know. But
it's terrible. I have to listen to Laura Ingraham for hours just to go out of the house. But I do want to say that, you know, I don't know why no one's going up against Hobby Lobby saying, where the hell does the Bible say that birth control is a sin? This is one of the biggest canards we have. You know, when God said, be fruitful and multiply, there were two people. Now he got 7 billion. Mission accomplished. There's nothing Christian in the argument that birth control is unchristian. I've read the Bible. Nobody says thou shalt not wear a Jimmy hat.
What is Aramaic for Jimmy hat? I wonder.
Yeah. Who can say?
It's in the Mel Gibson movie. But, you know, this all comes down to men believing that women's health care doesn't count as medicine and that prescription medicine for women isn't real medicine.
Well, and plus, as Sandra Fluke pointed out, it's medicine for other things like endometriosis. I mean, it just, and how is that fair that the female Hobby Lobby employees have to pay for their own contraception, which usually there's a man involved when you need contraception, and you know the men can get their Viagra and their penis pumps.
Are there any women?
Men are allowed to have opinions on what women do with their uteruses when men stop trying to get inside women's uteruses, and even then they only get to have an opinion.
Are there any women on the executive board of Hobby Lobby? Are there any women in management at Hobby Lobby? I mean, that would be interesting to know.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure in management.
I mean, these guys, they're not arbiters of Christianity. Right. They sell plastic palm trees.
Well, and ironic,
made in China, which has a forced abortion policy.
Oh, Chris, with the logic.
But John, ironically, I think someone was saying that Hobby Lobby claims, like, because they were saying the other thing, you could just not provide insurance and pay the penalty. Like, you could. That's the other thing. And they said, but we consider it. I think they said something like, we consider a religious thing to provide health care. It's like, but only some health care and not the kinds that you agree with.
How about you just have some faith and make it available and tell the faithful not to use it and see if they obey? Obey the law and see if they obey you. American Christians don't buy this. And I'll tell you the dirtiest thing about all your right-wing brothers and sisters out there who are cheering on Hobby Lobby. They use contraception. They don't have a problem with contraception. They're willing to be hypocrites just to hurt this president and to keep people from getting health care because they're Republican socialists. They want to go back to the days of everyone in the community having to pay when the uninsured show up in ERs. Republicans opposing Obamacare want that. That's their only plan. Why are they socialists? Why do they hate the free market, Steph? I don't know.
By the way, speaking of religion, you see, obviously, the Pope is meeting with President Obama, and Fox News says it's Obama's just trying to get his approval ratings up.
Yes, yeah. I heard on Fox News that a Latino who is living in Italy met with a Kenyan who's living in America. That's all I heard.
Joe in New Hampshire, you're on with Jackie. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
Good.
Listen, I just want to make this short if I can. I live in New Hampshire. There's only one insurance company up here that deals with Affordable Care Act, and that's the Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield. And anyway, I'm trying to get some insurance for my wife because she doesn't have any. I have insurance. I'm on Medicare, so I don't need the Affordable Care Act as far as I'm concerned. But anyway,
did a lot of really good things for Medicare. So.
I realize. No, I know that, but I can't use Medicare for her.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay,
because she has to be 65. She's only 58 years old.
Look at you robbing the cradle.
You yeah, go, right. boy.
But what?
Does it pay for her rattles?
Excuse me.
Does it pay for her rattle?
Okay, just kidding.
Yeah. But
and her mobile.
For the money we're making right now, or I'm making right now, she doesn't work, so I'm getting a pension. But anyway, whatever that pension is, from $50,000 to $60,000 a year, on the computer it says, for instance, it says a couple, at the money that I make, pays $579 a month for the health care. A single, that's her, would pay $402 a month. So I'm kind of confused with those two words, couple and single. Does that mean that if she was single and still made what I'm making, she would be paying $402 a month versus $579? And don't you think that $579 is awful expensive?
Yes, I do think some of the rates and the premiums are very expensive, and I think it's unfortunate that there's not competition within the marketplace. I mean, that's the biggest problem.
Oh, you mean
here.
Like a public option of some sort?
Well, that's the biggest problem is when you have only one company that's dominating the market, then you don't have a lot of options, and that's so. Yeah, it does sound like a lot. However, I would take a look at what sort of subsidies are available because that's where that comes into play. If you buy through the exchange, you then can get a government subsidy to help you pay for that premium. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to claim that the prices are necessarily affordable across the board. I think a lot of them are too expensive. But the reason for that is because we don't have genuine competition.
Yep. All right.
Yep.
46 minutes after the hour, back with remaining moments of Jackie Schachner and sexy liberal John Fugel saying, we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I am a sucker for a shock jock.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It's all right, hi. You still got your hail.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by GoToMeeting by HD Faces by Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online from anywhere. Start your free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code Stephanie. Jackie Schachner is live in studio with us. Sexy liberal John Fugel saying on the phone. Hello, everybody. John, very, very important news before we go any further. Sean Diddy Combs has returned to the name Puff Daddy, everybody.
Oh, I'm so relieved. That's great.
Yes.
That's great because you know he was Diddy, and before that he was P Diddy,
right?
And before that he was Puffy, and before that he was Sean Combs, and before that he was the Quarrymen.
Right. He tweeted, "For the record, I did not change my name. I've always have been and always will be Puff Daddy. Be cool, man. LOL."
Wow. You know the worst thing about him actually is that if Biggie was still alive, no one would know who Puffy was.
I think he was just admitting he was just with us. Listen, when people say I'm changing my name, I'm like, what? Whatever. Undecipherable symbol. You're Prince. Just shut up, for God's sakes.
Yeah, you know, he's had more names than he's had songs people can name.
You know what? I have I'm half a mind to consciously uncouple from Diddy, Puffy, whatever his name is. All right. Speaking of my crushes, David Cassidy has been ordered into rehab.
Yeah.
After his DUI. This is his third DUI.
Only third?
Oh. I still think I love him.
Did I read he was in rehab
when
this happened?
No, he's already been enrolled in an inpatient rehab facility. at the time of the sentencing. The judge will give him credit for 102 days he served. He will be transitioning to a monitored outpatient program with a sober coach.
And be consciously decoupling?
I could be a sober coach.
I think Danny Bonaducci is first in line.
I think you have to be sober to be a sober coach.
Compared to him, I'm sober.
It's not comparable. Like, you can't say I'm more sober.
I've sung Hey, I Think I Love You more times than he has.
I don't think compared to him you're sober. You just don't go out driving.
That's true. I don't leave the house. I could coach him to just not go driving when he's...
You could teach him how to be a shut-in.
Yeah, that's it.
That would work.
Okay.
John, I don't even know if you know this, but ex-TV Judge Joe Brown has been arrested in Tennessee. Who's going to hear this case, Judge Judy?
You don't say. It's not true. You don't deserve it. What kind of a man does something like that?
I didn't care for Judge Joe Brown.
I love Judge Joe Brown.
Really? Oh.
He was like the angry leader of the Promise Keepers meeting on Crank. What kind of a man does such a thing like that? I love him.
Jackie, have you seen the, I think they're awesome, the MoveOn.org ads? They did one in Louisiana. They take all the states that are denying the Medicaid expansion, mm-hmm. they take their tourism slogan, and then they say, by the way, did you know Bobby Jindal's denying however many hundreds of thousands of people health care?
I have not seen the new ad, but I like it. I like the idea of alerting people why it is their state doesn't have the Medicaid expansion.
Right.
Especially when it's free. I mean, that's the great part.
Yeah,
I like the idea of letting people know that if their insurance company jacks up their rates, they're allowed to blame their insurance company and not Barack Obama.
Yeah. I feel like we need to give people permission for that.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to, hang on, let me make sure I'm doing this right. Okay. Jennifer in Fresno, you're on with Jackie.
Hello, I'm running away from my barking dogs first.
Oh, run.
Yeah, they heard you and they wanted to say hi, but what I wanted to talk about was Hobby Lobby, and they're essentially playing God.
Yeah.
Because I get that they
And we all know that that is Morgan Freeman's job. This is not your job, Hobby Lobby.
Exactly. They're not Bruce Almighty or anything. I mean, for God's sake. They are playing God with the anti-fertilization drugs, because let's be honest, this is what Plan B and Ella are. But I guarantee they're still going to be offering the in vitro coverage, the Zift and the Gift and the embryo. Mm-hmm. You can't sit there and say it's against our religion to provide anti-fertilization medication, but it's okay for you to play God when you've already prayed for a baby and your answer was no.
Exactly.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a really good point. But, you know, John, this is what we've been talking about all week. This is the problem with mixing church and state, with mixing religion with, you know, she put it in a good way. It is. It's playing God. It's like
And this church and state fondue it's more like a toxic rhesus cup. It's like you got your church in my state. You got your state in my church. Tastes great. Well, I don't like how it tastes. Shut up. You'll take it. You know, if you don't like this, take it up with James Madison. But they have no reason to do it. There's no consistency there, and it's just another sign that they're losing.
When you ask somebody, John,
they don't care about health. They care about stopping women's reproductive freedoms.
John, when you ask somebody to cite the place in Scripture in the Bible where it says this, what's the answer you get?
Well, usually, Jackie, I'm glad you asked, they go with the story of Onan, because Onan spilled his seed on the ground, which angered God, and God slew him, so that means God hates condoms. Makes perfect sense, but the fact is, when you read the story, it was all about how the ancient Hebrews needed to keep their tribes' numbers up. God smites Onan's brother Ur, and says, go in unto thy brother's widow and continue his bloodline. Onan doesn't want to shag his dead brother's wife before the brother's even cold. He starts, pulls out, does what he does, invents the rhythm method as we know it, and really the sin was that he disobeyed a direct order from the commander-in-chief, but somewhere along the line, religions decided no. The real sin was that he spilled his seed, and so this story in Genesis has been the original reason for saying same-sex relationships, birth control, and masturbation are a sin. We even call masturbation Onanism, and the poor guy didn't even do it.
But
imagine having something named after yourself that's that, and you never even did it in the story.
What about Ur's brothers, Herp and Derp?
Well, yeah, it's like a white trash sitcom. My name is Ur.
I think they just punted on naming that kid. What should we name him?
Ur. I don't know. Let me think about it. Ur.
Those Aramaics.
But I mean, so even Apple or Moses would have been better.
A deliberate misreading of the Bible. And again, the Bible shouldn't be dictating anything in our society. Nothing. It should dictate who you are to try to be a better person if you believe in the Bible, not to control other people or deny rights to other people.
That's why, again,
these guys just want you to believe that there's one kind of medication that's not really medication.
Yeah, exactly. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why he is my personal comedy Jesus. John. Jesus. and he will be holding court on stage with the Barrymore Theater with Carlos Els Rocky and I Saturday night. And then don't forget Sexy Liberal Facebook, sexyliberal.com for all the ticket links for Chicago and Albuquerque and Minneapolis. Get the right one. Don't go to the scam sites or the scalpers or all that stuff.
And John will be back with us tomorrow.
I know, right?
Yes, I will.
Oh, the God is good. God is
in
good.
In spite of popular demand.
Hey, Jackie Schechner, thank you. We love you.
No problem. It's always good to be here.
Nurse Jackie. She's just an ivy drip of love. Okay, that's it. What? I don't know. We'll be back tomorrow.
Let me take a look at that, whatever you got going on over there.
All right. Back tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.